Preston. When we get into this healing trauma, healing the nervous system type work, at least for me anyways, you know, I thought that that stuff, old traumas, old wounds, emotions, they typically come out in like a one-on-one session with a therapist. And through the work that we've been doing with Irene this year, I've really learned that there's a lot of different ways that trauma can come out and release from the body. And today's guest, Nina, we were chatting offline about a recent experience that she had in a body work session. And Nina, I would love to first off welcome you to the show, but invite you to share your recent experience that you had with pelvic work.
Well, hi, thank you for having me. Yeah, for sure. So survival stress, aka trauma, can show up in so many different ways. And yeah, my last experience was in a session that I had with a practitioner about spinal stabilization. That's because I have some back pain problems, and it is kind of a method that really helps you strengthen the muscles and enhance your posture, and also really get more flow in your spine. Because the discs, at least in my spine, are a little bit too together, so they don't have enough space.
Right.
And, you know, it was so interesting when I came in, and it was actually the first time that we met, and I told her, about my scientific practitioner track knowledge and practice that I have been doing. And I said, maybe nothing will come out, you know, maybe something will come out. I have no idea. I just know I need to stabilize my back a little bit. And she was informed on the tree method. So tremor release.
Yep.
And yeah, when we started the work, there was a lot coming out, and I can say my ball, Irene would describe the balls in the pool, was definitely coming out. And I feel so much gratefulness actually that I have this knowledge now, and that I know how to track my physiology and how to release it. And yeah, it was, I know it might sound cliche, but it was very, very beautiful experience.
I love that. I appreciate you sharing that. And it's so one thing that caught my attention is when you're trauma informed, when you understand the nervous system and you're doing this work and stuff is just coming up, I haven't really thought about sharing where I'm at, the work I'm doing with certain bodywork practitioners, you know. So I think it was really cool that you came into this appointment, and by sharing that, it's almost like you guys are kind of co-creating this experience, and you showed up for spinal stabilization, and you leave with a big ball coming out of your pool. And to explain that a little bit to the audience, you know, Irene talks about a swimming pool, and if you can imagine a bunch of beach balls floating around, there's not a lot of space. There's not a lot of room for flow. And so those balls bumping around are why we don't feel good, right? And getting the ball out is literally removing a trauma. And kind of what Nina's saying here is when our system is primed and ready to release, that stuff's going to come out all the time. Am I right? Is that correct?
Well, I would also say that it's very important to develop that awareness of the body and somatic capacity first. I'm pretty sure that if I wouldn't have this kind of knowledge, and I don't mean it just theoretically, also really somatically, I would probably bypass it and I wouldn't know how to be with it, how to deal with it, or maybe I would be like feeling fear or terror, what is happening. But because I'm already at this point where I really know how to track and how to be and deal and express safely, and plus I was like co-regulating, which means like I was able to experience that safe space, you know, like safe container, where like it was accepted about my release. It was not like judged or bypassed or redirected, or it was not like just think it through. No, like I was really allowed to be my most authentic primal self, actually. Which like that's for me like the biggest gift, really.
Amen. And you've done all this work and this awareness. So it's like now I think of it as like you're teed up and you're ready. You've got a really good environment. You've got a good intention that I'm going to meet what shows up. You've even kind of set an expectation of, hey, some stuff. I want to ask you that. What's that conversation look like with a new practitioner? How would somebody communicate that they're doing this work and some stuff might come up?
Well, to be honest, like when I first started this work, I think like I signed up for Irene's program SBSM, Smart Body, Smart Mind, in 2019. Mm-hmm. I was really feeling fear of like even expressing myself like in that way to someone. Mm-hmm. There were so many like patterns of conditioning, I would say, coming up for me, like, what do you want? Like how you're, you know, like showing up. But right now, because it's also like many years of work and also knowledge, it's like necessary and authentic for me to just respect myself and my body process. And I know I had like also like luck because the woman I am working with, she is kind of like trauma-informed. So we could talk very openly about everything, you know, like I was sharing what is intuitive practitioner track and how I understand trauma and everything. And she was really on board with it. And yeah, she was really also asking me during my release, so what do you need right now? Mm. What can I help you with? It was not like managing anything. I could really be myself.
What a gift. So how is that different than being a good student and coming in with a list of information and saying, this is what I want you to do, and this is how I want you to do it? So it's this basically showing up authentically, like you said, to support my body versus here's the outcome I'm trying to get and let's make it happen. What's the difference there?
I would say my somatic experience gave me this, because before in the starting doing this work, I would really enter from my head space, mm-hmm. and mind based, I would be like, so what now? What kind of step do I need to make, or how much time this will take me, you know?
Yeah.
But as longer as you do this, and the more on depth and the more regulation you're building, in my opinion, that really falls off, because it's not natural anymore. It's not aligned with you. Mm-hmm. Of course, those patterns still show up, you know, like, so where is the reward, or how much time, how many sessions? But when you yourself notice your own like somatic wisdom, you can like sense and feel, you have this kind of gut feeling, you know, like, oh, I'm here now, you know, this is still what I'm experiencing or noticing. And it's different, because I think I'm different.
Oh yeah. I mean, you can't come into this work and not be different. You know, can you imagine that? Can you imagine coming into this work and being the same? Like, I think the year anniversary of us working with Irene was like recently. And reflecting back on that year of how much I've grown, how much capacity and awareness I've built, it's insane. And I can't imagine being like, yeah, I'm pretty much the same as I was last year. Hey, that's not what I signed up for. I don't know about you.
No, for sure. I still remember those first days when we even had like training calls. I was like, just like my head was burning, you know, I was like so stiff in my body and just to really remember all the information.
Oh, yeah. I thought one of my fears coming into the SPT was that my regulation, it's like, how do I say this? My regulation wouldn't be as good, wouldn't be good enough or as good as other people's. And I would like get left behind or not be good enough. And it's funny that I do feel like I was behind some people in my regulation. I literally walked in from Smart Body, Smart Mind, finishing that the week before into our intensive.
Wow.
And what happened is like exactly what I didn't expect to happen. For everybody to bring me in, to nurture, to hold me, to encourage authenticity and to show up. And I told Irene in our interview a couple of weeks ago that it felt like everybody's like helped me slingshot me to get my nervous system to a more open, more capacity, more regulation.
Yeah.
What was your biggest fear coming in?
Yeah, my fear was really about the capacity. I was like, oh my God, what will that do to my body? I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready to handle all what is going to come up, you know, how I'm going to follow the curriculum. But yeah, like, I think the big part of still going on was the fact that I went through SBSM and already like listened so much of Irene YouTube channel videos that I know that she's a person, at least I'm experiencing her as that she really, really values titration.
Oh yeah.
And no like points and medals and certifications, but really like your own process.
Yes.
And somehow in the back of my mind, I knew I will be safe.
Yeah, I will. I got chills when you said that. It was the same for me. You know, two things comes up in response to that. Like, first, all those questions of, am I ready? Can I handle this? Will I be able to follow? All super normal. And they show our dysregulation. They show our conditioning. And the lack of safety because there's no trust, not enough, but there's, and we can work on trust, right? And so trust is literally what develops safety. So if we can say, hey, I'm going to be fine no matter what, well, then we can have more safety, and it makes having faith of how things will work out and trusting our bodies a whole lot better. And then same thing with Irene, like the titration, I was, my capacity was razor thin, you know? I was coming out of a year or two of just starting this work, and I wasn't able to eat food. I wasn't able to exercise. I had no energy, anxiety, no sleep. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? And then I, the first night, I remember being so excited, having those conversations because they were just like me. You know, we're all the canary in the coal mine. Like, we are the ones that have been getting our ass kicked. And we're all in this together. And knowing that Irene was all about going slow, doing a little bit at a time, really put me at ease too, because, you know, I was the biohacker and the, you know, the detoxer and the supplement guy. And I was trying to change and fix myself and do these big cathartic releases that just kind of left me upside down. And you know, that's where I think a lifestyle is so important, and doing little bits at a time instead of let's see what I can get out right now. It's kind of like walking into that that office with somebody doing the body work and being like, you know, get all this junk out of my hip right now. Like, what would that do to your system? Like, you pulled a big boulder out, not by showing up and demanding that this happen. It's almost like instead of trying to control the outcome, you show up curious and holding space. And that's I've experienced that as too, because those are our survival patterns coming into the session instead of trying to control it.
Yeah, like I would say control is kind of a big one when I work with women mostly currently. Yeah. And I must say that I see the connection with like unsafety, which would represent the dysregulation of our nervous system. And then the survival strategy, which of course I would be for sure guilty of. Yeah. This control, you know, because you are the one that you control and you determine what will happen, when or how or how much, you know. And when we go into that next step of regulation, I would say you have that less because you trust yourself. Like you said, no matter what will happen, I have enough resources, I have enough tools, and I'm okay with whatever will come up for me. Mm-hmm. And with that control pattern, I noticed that we don't know yet how to be with it. So maybe like fear or terror or something, maybe from our histories comes up, and we don't want to experience that again. So the body just wants to protect us, you know, just not experiencing that stuff again, because for sure they weren't pleasant. So yeah, we went into that control strategy. And yeah, I think also my release, if we go back to that session, happened because I trust myself. Like, inner safety physiology is already so much on board that I just let it go. I know what I have to do, and I have this like belief and trust in my system that it knows how to release it. And I'm just like kind of like catalyzing, or how to say that? Catalyst?
Yeah, yeah. You're the catalyst. You're supporting that. You're holding space for that. Yeah. You're have an intention and openness and meeting whatever's going to show up instead of trying to force and control. And I remember you were telling me a tip that you got from Irene.
Oh, yes. Before that safety, at least a certain amount was on board, I was constantly asking, so how do you differentiate between this and that? How do you know that this will come up? And how do you know if this is real or not? Or how to track this? And at one point, like, I was stopped and paused. And I just heard her and remember her saying, like, so what did it actually feel right now in your body? What's actually happening right now? And yeah, it really stayed that with me. And yeah, most of the time I'm still using that.
Yeah.
Whenever I notice like that I'm trying to go into that survival mode, like figuring out or, you know, trying to protect myself with performance or with knowledge or with this. And I'm just, oh, so what am I noticing right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so much of this work is being present with what is, with what's coming up, and allowing that to be here. And really kind of what I hear as you're sharing this is like, there's the raw sensation and the feeling of what's going on. And there's a story that we can make out of it. And that story takes us out of the experience, probably adding an additional fear to a symptom. And so that's going to keep it stuck, right? Instead of just allowing it to be here. And when we can let that go, the story, and just attune or witness, be aware of what's here now, well, then we can bring some safety in, because two things, you can bring that and word in, where it's like, hey, I'm scared right now. And if I don't connect to the story that something's wrong, or I need to figure this out. If we do that, we're going to be drug around all day long by that story. Just like, you know, yelling at the snake that bit us, trying to figure out why it bit us.
Yeah.
Instead, if we could just go, yeah, I'm angry, and that's okay. It's okay to be angry. Maybe I want to clench or run, whatever that is. But if I can just listen to that wisdom from my body of what to do next, well, then I can, you know, I can, it doesn't stick around. I think that's a big fear that we have, that like, this is going to last forever. And it will, if you hold on to it. And if you let it just kind of move through, then it quits, what's gripping us, what we're gripping at, quits gripping us, seems like.
Yeah, like, here's like what's coming up from me right now is like, when I first started working also on my like femininity, it was all about like stories. And when you share like a story with another person or with your partner, with your relatives, friends, no matter, then I found it like really pleasant to be able to express myself. Mm-hmm. But then actually tap into my inner biology, so the inner awareness. So there is both like the expression, which I think it's really needed, because like we have a need to express, to share ideas, to share what's going on, but then also be able to tap into physiology and share from that part. So we don't stay here. And we don't try to go into those controlling or whatever patterns, but we share, oh, yeah, it's actually fear that's coming up right now. Yeah. And the other person can actually like start feeling you, attuning to you. Mm-hmm. And it makes so much difference, especially when people ask me like, yeah, we constantly have this conflict. So what to do? I know like it's really, really hard. And when we pause and go into our bodies, and when we start to attune, this is the change that is happening. You know, the conflict really changes its flavor, because we step away a little bit from our protective mechanisms, and we're just like, oh, like she or he, like I feel, or I can see or sense the sadness. Okay, let's do this first. And after that, the talk is very, very different.
Mm-hmm. Is what you're explaining now, it reminds me of something you shared in our group, I believe. It's a certain type of sharing for like groups and things like that. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's called Something Sharing. Do you remember the title of that? It's a way of answering questions.
Yeah,
that's you shared it or somebody else shared it?
I think Julie shared it.
Like, I think it was, yeah.
Or Julie, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
About honest sharing.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yes, but like feminine communication, I would say, is a little bit different, but it's very similar.
I think when you say feminine communication, I'm like, well, us, if I'm around a bunch of guys, more like toxic masculinity stuff, I guess our language would be like grunting, like, yeah. Tell me more about feminine language. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's basically talking and from your body. So from Excel from your physiology. And the key for me is that you are actually, when you're expressing yourself, you are actually connected to what is coming up for you. And I mean connected with within the depth, so within the nervous system. So it's not about just feelings, because we know they can be like a side product of like the nervous system, but there can be all sorts of things, you know, like there can be sensation, there can be like different activations. And if we are able to share that in non-judgmental, non-controlling way, then it makes really a difference. And people, especially men, I would say, like really respond differently, because it actually talks to their not just nervous system, but also their instincts.
So like more like protecting type instincts, is that what you're saying? So it's almost like you're a little bit vulnerable, you share how you're feeling, and to a man that's integrated and healthy masculine envy is going to feel and interpret that, and I want this person to be safe, so what can I do to support them, because they've been vulnerable and now I have more information to respond in a better way. Is that correct?
Exactly that. Yes.
And on the opposite side of that, what I see a lot, and why I'm so interested in creating communities for men, is I do share like a woman some, a lot of times. I've learned how to listen to my body and say what I feel. And I watch, like, I have a men's group, and we have football on Sundays, and the guys will come over, and sometimes I'll like say something that's very from my body and film that, and I just get like these looks like, what are you talking about? You know, they just don't get it. So I think that's why it's so important to have these conversations.
For me, it's really important. Like, you know, I was working like under the government, like where there were like high conflicts, divorces, a lot of violence, family abuse, you know, issues like between partners and all of that. And I went through so much modalities and communication methods, and I couldn't find this thing, you know, that would include our bodies, that would include that authenticity and, you know, that groundness. And when I first encountered in feminine and masculine communication, I was like, oh, you know, something resonated with me, but I have been crafting it with blends of the nervous system knowledge as well, because that's how I personally see there was some kind of space and room, you know, to enhance that. And as you said, like this nervous system work is actually the base. Otherwise, this can be just more of a costume, you know. The outcome and, you know, the some kind of control pattern, even unconsciously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so well said. I mean, I did 20 years of healing, you know, and health and wellness, and I mean, you name it, like scouring the planet, you know, and that's the problem, is it's inside. You know, we think that our power, something outside, is going to show up and fix us and be there for us. And that's because of the conditioning, because nobody was there. As we learned that so young. And so, yeah, if we're going about health and healing and this type of work, and we're doing it from that perspective of, I need another session, I need another detox, I need another workout, I need another diet, I need another course, I need. Like, nah, bro, you need to show up for yourself. You know, because when you go, and that's what I say the same thing, like the nervous system is the foundation, like you said, and it's the lens that I see all healing through. Because who am I to tell you how to live your life or how to do that? Like, I can be a guide. I kind of see myself as like a buffet sometimes. It's like, hey, I'm going to put some things out here, and it's your job to tune into what resonates, because your nervous system is the map for your healing. You know, and I brought a lot of patterns into my session that this kind of, we were talking about this before. How many sessions do I need? How quickly can you make this happen for me? You know, when will this be over? Versus like, what feels good for me right now? Do you get clients that are asking those type of questions?
Yes, for sure. For sure. And I can understand, because like, we actually all want, you know, to stop the pain, to resolve an issue, to go to that solution. Or we're like, and you said as well, you know, like we're just came from this and this and this and this method. So is this finally going to work? And yeah, I love like nervous system work basically the most also because, as you said, like it never gives you any steps. It doesn't give you like, you have this method and everyone will succeed because you will do the exact steps like we were taught to in this book, you know?
And it sounds like a fairy tale. That sounds like, it sounds so nice. I mean, you marketed it perfectly.
Yes. And yeah, I think like I feel so much appreciation, you know, and gratefulness that whenever I work with Irene and, you know, interact with her, like it's all about the ball at me, you know?
Yes.
So the whole time is about, so what do you notice? So what is happening now? You know? And that's like probably you have this saying too, you know, you don't give a fish, you just teach them how to.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you nailed it. And I would get so frustrated in the beginning.
Yeah.
With that. Cause I was like, all right, I'm working with, I really chose Irene to work with and mentor. I knew I was going to mentor with her before she even offered this course then that we were involved in. And because I saw that she's taken many modalities, she's not saying, hey, here's how you do it. She's saying, here's what I've learned and here's what I've turned that into. And she's the only one I've seen doing the titration piece. Yeah. You know, this work is still in its infancy and it's our job to take that to the next level. But in the beginning, you know, I thought, oh, she's the OG. I'm going to get all the answers and she's going to heal me. It's like what I would, and I think she understands like what's going on with people and like what they need. So someone may get more of an answer, like this is what you need to do, you know? And it felt like every time it came to me, you said it so nicely, like I'd bounce the ball to her and she'd be like, what do you want? And bounce it right back. And I'd be like, ah, but that is, instead of giving the answer, it's trusting, hey, you got this. Yeah. And that's a great way to talk to yourself when you're in your stuff. It's not like, hey, you're safe, you're okay. Like, I don't hear that. It's like, no, you got this. You can do this. Yeah. And when you put that ball back into the person's hand and let them figure it out for themselves while guiding them and giving resources, man, does it land a whole lot different than getting it on a freaking silver platter.
Yes.
I don't think it works like that.
And, you know, thank you so much for saying that. And also, like, when I notice some parents that they already have this kind of knowledge on board and they're actually doing this in practice, like, I cannot describe, like, the feeling. Like, my heart is bursting, you know? I'm like, oh, my God, I feel so much joy, you know? They're, like, going to the level of a child and just asking them, so, okay, what do you notice? Where do you notice? And they offer, you know, some spectrum of motion, sensation, so a child can, you know, be provided with some help, what to choose, and then guide them and be that safe space for them. But they first notice their physiology, and with the help of a parent or a caregiver, they have like a safe space to process. And it's, oh my God, I cannot imagine, like, if we would all have the opportunity, you know, to be raised like this. Can you imagine?
No, when I've seen that with families and kids, and they're being well attuned, they're you know, their emotional process is being respected. They're not being dismissed or gaslit. I mean, that's what our society does. And to see that one for me, like you said, I get very emotional and I get so excited, and I always pull that parent aside and I'm like, you are killing it. I just want to say, I saw you do this and this. Well, I remember being at a family event and watching my sister-in-law, shout out to Brooke, and kids were just being kids that are crazy and playing around, and they made a mess. They like spilled something on the ground and it was like, uh-oh. And I was waiting over there like, oh, somebody's about to get their butt whooped, you know, because that's what I learned. And it's more about, it's the allowing and trusting that this kid's okay. They make messes. It's all right. Like, we don't have to freak out. And man, what is that's a very different day for that child that gets scolded for being a kid versus like gets supported in that moment. And hey, we make mistakes. We can fail. We learn from these things. They're actually good to fail. Hurry up and fail so I can get more information.
Yes. And while you were talking now, I just had like a picture in my mind, you know, like how the children are allowed to crawl and, you know, touch the ground and, you know, maybe have a taste of it or something, you know, but really like noticing. And it may seem for someone like nothing, but actually it's everything. For a nervous system is like so important information. It's like, you know, like building that baseline of regulation.
Well, it's so much awareness. Like we were chatting about this a little bit before. You know, we come into this work and typically we're one of two ways. We feel too much, yeah, or we don't feel anything at all. Those are the people that say, I don't have trauma, I have nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And, it is so much about awareness. And when we have that information, we can respond in such a healthier way. If you're not, and trauma disconnects us from our body. And so we don't know what it's saying. We think that these things are bad. And we're taught, if you have a boo-boo, put a Band-Aid on it to fix it. And so, of course, you're going to dismiss yourself and avoid the pain and go back to what you're doing and maybe shut down. And so that stress goes into your body, lives in your body, and is going to be directing your life because you're avoiding it to protect yourself without knowing it because of this conditioning. And this work is like, it's quite the awakening to see what's going on. And I think that really goes back to doing little bits at a time. If we rip the ground floor out from out of the foundation of your house out every week in a session, I've been there. It's hell, you know. It's months at a time of not functioning.
It really reminds me of some of my past work experience where people would come into my office, they would sit, and they would say to me, "So now fix me."
No, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. And you know, the surprise is quite big when you return that ball back, you know.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, sorry, it just like starts with us if we want it to stay there, you know. And it's just like the representation of how much, like you said before, we are oriented to that external validation, and to someone tell us, this will help, you have to do this and 10 times a day and eat this food and take this supplement and rest when I tell you and wake up when I tell you, you know.
Well, that's why I say the nervous system is the ultimate red pill.
Yeah.
Because it wakes you up to how society, your family system, maybe your friends, your coworkers, the business, your boss, whatever, everything's trying to control you, stress you out, separate you, poison you. I used to think that the standard American diet, which is crap, its acronym is SAD for a reason. You know, I used to think that it was because bad science and trying to save a dollar. And really, it's all about control. So I think as we wake up to our conditioning, society, our own personal conditioning, our family conditioning, societal conditioning, I think humans are meant to live in a radically different way. And that's a lot to take in. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, like I was hearing often in the SBSM curriculum, like that people who joined, they started to take care of their plants better. I don't know if you remember.
Plants. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I mean, what? And what first? And now after like so much time and work on myself, you know, like I have my own garden. I take care of it and I like eat food, organic food from my own garden and I walk on my garden barefoot.
Yeah.
And it's like necessary for me. It's like in the morning, that's like the second thing I have to do. Like I just go there, you know, walk, feel ground, notice, you know, orient. And it's completely different than I used to live before, you know, like stressing, waking up, you know, do this and that, hurry up, like stuff the food inside of me, go into the traffic and like horn, you know, at people and then rush into the office and people already waiting for me and stuff so much caffeine in me and
show up with your hair on fire.
Yeah. Today. Exactly.
That's why I love the following your impulse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we get taught. And I think that's like, I don't know, step two, maybe. It's like learn to listen to your body. And that's a whole journey of itself. And once you start listening, the next step is to follow what feels good, maybe radically different than what you're used to. But I'm wondering, it seems like your impulse has changed.
Yeah.
You started this work, you know, the one picture on one side is like, it feels so good. You know, you're waking up slow, you're walking in the garden, you're getting sunlight, you're grounding, you're in nature, you're eating organic food that you grew. I mean, dude, that's awesome. And yeah. In the past, it's like, let me hit the snooze buttons as many times as I can. Let me jam this food down, let me speed off to work, and let me show up and perform all day long.
Yes, exactly.
How else have your any impulses that you feel change, or do you remember like an impulse that was like new or different in the beginning that kind of changed things?
Well, like everything you described, like before, the more living in that survival state was actually going to an extent for me because I was severely experiencing the burnout. Mm-hmm. So like it was very, very intense and many side symptoms alongside with. And after or now that I am doing this work still because I don't think I will ever stop.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's just, I still notice those survival impulses, you know, the rushness, the dopamine, the adrenaline. So you have to do this because I was always performing very effectively under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And a threat, you know, and now when you eliminate this and it first, it gets really, really weird, uncomfortable. It's not like, I don't want to say that it's all rainbows and sunshines and there is no healing or medicine like happening over the night, because like that's what felt safe was actually unsafety. But when you remove that unsafety and put yourself in that environment that is more safe, so maybe even more calming for the starter, it feels so uncomfortable. It's like where is the rush? Where is the adrenaline? So where is the threat? No one is yelling at me. I have no intervention. I had no this. It's just like confusing to the system because it's so used to operate in that survival state.
Yeah. It's so normal to be flooded with adrenaline, cortisol. I work better under pressure, and I want to feel calm, right? And it's like when we get a taste of that, it's like, where'd all the things that I'm used to go? Where's all the stress? I can't do this without stress. It's like even learning how to study different in SPT, it wasn't cramming before the day. That leads to performance. And I got a note here. It says, when I like try to prepare and perform, I feel like crap, you know? And it's a big shift to just be you, be authentic. There's something you said that I'd love to know more about, because I didn't know this about you. You had a period of burnout. So one, is that resolved? Are you still working on that? And how did you make progress with that?
Well, I believe that I have made a lot of progress. And I don't have any symptoms, like severe symptoms that I had before. Those were included also like some panic attacks, like anxiousness and all this hypervigilance. I can still sense sometimes that they want to crawl in, those like survival protective mechanisms.
Okay.
But like I operate completely differently. And how, like people often ask me, like, how did you even start? And maybe like when I was thinking, how did I actually do it? Because I didn't take any medication, or I didn't, you know, listen to any medical professionalist. I just really, really followed my impulse, whatever came up. And I can tell you, it was not very pleasant. It was not like, oh, so much joy.
It wasn't a cakewalk the whole time.
No. And at first, I really started with that biological impulses. And then there were like a lot of emotional. And then they were just like, okay, so what I noticed now, I want to go for a walk. So I did that. You know, I want to sleep. So I did that. I want to eat, I don't know, pizza. You know, I did that. Of course, that doesn't mean I ate pizza every day, but I'm just trying to, you know, picture that I really started to listen. And I came to a stage that I was waking up, even though I was sleeping like 8, even 10 hours a day, I was waking up so, so tired all the time. I was like, oh my God, I'm still tired, you know? And when I started to really release those balls, like that we talked about in the beginning, then I noticed a difference. And I know like we all still have work to do, but it really shows. And what sticks for me is also, of course, sleep is very important, but at certain level, you have to go deeper. For me, it really worked. And as I'm like talking with people that have like the same experience with burnout, you have to first build that capacity, but then start taking out those balls. Because we know when you are sleeping, actually, this can still, the sympathetic part of the nervous system, be very active, and you're not actually go into that rest and digest part. So yeah, I think that started to make big changes for me, and I look forward to further progress.
Yeah. So you said ultimately following your impulse is what helped. And it sounds like it's basically a difference between this, the brain the cognitive experience that says, this is what we have to do to heal. And if you go to the doctor, it may be, you need medication. You need, you know, to eat like this. You need to quit your job, whatever. And that's a lot of have to's. And that's something that you may like, okay, I don't want to do it, but I'll do it so I can heal, right? And that's control. And the opposite of that is, this is what I want to do. I want to go for a walk. I want to have some freaking pizza, you know? And it's like, that is that's how we start to respond to ourselves. And that's how I see like a deep, dark hole and we're pulling ourselves out. Did you do the impulse part after learning that from Irene, or is that something you did on your own?
Yeah, I feel like gratefulness because besides my universal studies, I already signed up for SBSM, so the Irene's program, and I had this knowledge in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Not at that level that I have now, obviously, but there was like something in me, like in the back, like just listen. I can tell you, there is a lot of pressure from the outside. You know, people sometimes still don't understand what actually is going on with your physiology. And it's not about being lazy. It's not about like, you have like 2 months of period of time and then you have to be better, you know? It's not working like that.
Yeah.
So I had to deal with that as well, with the environment. And I just really decided to go inward and just process things and rest a lot while processing whatever will come up. And I have to say, it's a journey. It's really not 1 week retreat or 3 weeks of course. No. And when I remember so clearly, once I was vacuuming my house, the floor, and I was listening to the podcast of Irene and her husband, Seth, and Seth was mentioning like, so when you eliminate those like stressors or the environment that you were in that caused and helped you to get into that state, and when you start being more calm, like calm in a way that you don't have those external stressors, then you actually see what is the actual level of your somatic capacity. And when I heard this, I was like, oh my God, my capacity is so small.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good point. I kind of want to take that. That's what I'm realizing right now with me, and I've had so many levels of realizing where my capacity is at. And, you know, it kind of goes back to what we were discussing earlier about burnout. And I've learned recently this term sensitization that comes from Dr. Weeks. It's this lady from like, I think like the 50s. And she's kind of calling this nervous breakdown for women.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this sensitized state is I have an initial symptom or event that was really scary that created symptoms. And so now the event is over, but I am still afraid of the symptom. So now I've created fear around my body, trying to speak to me and trying to heal. And I get into this place because everything is a threat. I'm trying to figure out what the threat is, why it here, why did the snake bite me? And then I try to fix it. And that keeps us in a loop. And for me, working with that has been like the thing right now. And I'm making progress. And I can see that before I was that is what is in front of me. That's what I mean when the nervous system is the map. Like, we don't have to show up and figure this out. If we can just trust what our body's given us, we said this multiple times, hey, your body is sensitized. You're constantly looking for a threat. And so we need to right now work with that and learn to accept and meet the sensations, the emotions, these old stories. And what's keeping them stuck is resisting them. So when they come up, we're going, you know, yeah. When we let that come into our field, when that pathway in the brain opens up of, oh, that threat is here, and we would typically run away, that's when we move towards it and see what it needs. We're typically gripping for something outside of us. And what really we need is to hold that young part of us that is so damn terrified. And I've found, what I'm thinking is going to happen, because I've seen myself coming out of this sensitization, all that fear is gone. It is literally a lens of seeing the world. And my thought is, I was going past what my body was trying to give me and hit some of these deeper somatic boulders, if you will, traumas and things that I need to meet. And my guess is, and I think you said this a minute ago, is we got to deal with this burnout, this sensitization, this hypervigilant state that's causing us to bounce between really high activation and crashing and fatigue. And once we have settled that down, then yes, we have to go deeper to understand what created the conditions that made our body a home for sensitization.
Yeah. What is coming up for me is, like, for me, it's important that I have some knowledge on board so that this fear is not so strongly present. Because if I start to understand first, oh, this is coming up, so this I will process and then go into it and have some, you know, like tools, equipment beside me, it's much easier. And I can see, like, when people are talking to me and saying, like, yeah, I was like completely in threat and we still kept going on, you know. That's the thing.
And you didn't know to pause and turn towards that at the moment because you didn't have the education, is what you said.
Yeah. I think it's important to have this at least certain amount of education on board. And then, like, really, it can be like a resource and then go into your body and process that.
Yes.
And
go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, no, I just meant to say also, like, regarding that automatic responses, when I was listening to you, they are so sometimes hard to notice because they're automatic, right?
Yes.
As nervous system. Mm-hmm. And as we talked before, the start of this call, you know, maybe something unpleasant is arising within us, you know, some unpleasant emotion, sensation, and we are tired, we don't want to process that, you know, and we go into that strategy and we can do it like basically a little bit like unconsciously, automatically, for example, taking the phone and start scrolling, you know, and, you know, suppressing, avoiding, bypassing all of that. And with this education, I noticed myself, I'm like, if I notice that about myself, I can pause and I can actually tune in and notice what am I doing and what actually is happening in my body. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's like the gold.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the education piece is so invaluable. And I remember the story that I don't think I've shared on this podcast. I shared it in a podcast with Irene on her channel. But we're learning about disgust. Here's a great example of how education can show up in the moment and it allows us to move through instead of repeating the same patterns that we have and keeping us stuck. Now, we got to slow down, right? But in this scenario, I had been learning about the narcissism that was in my family. And it was, if you know narcissism, and I'm sure you do, it's very confusing to the person that's experienced it, right? So you feel like you're the problem because you've been gaslit and love bombed and love has been taken away and you're walking on eggshells and it's usually coming from a caregiver and you think you can't look at the environment as a child and say the environment failed me. We say I failed and I'm wrong and I'm bad and we're trying to fix ourselves. And so when you learn about toxic shame, that can live in our body, and that's what toxic shame is, you know, I'm too much, I'm not good enough, I'm bad, I'm the problem. When we discovered that, the way we work with that, the antidote, as Irene would say, is disgust. And so when I was discovering this for myself, it was like a freaking needle in a haystack. And when I finally saw it and I was ready to share that with my wife, I threw up. And I'd had some water that day. I hadn't eaten anything. It was first thing in the morning. We went for a walk and I was getting all fired up, like telling my wife what I had been learning about and these old memories that were surfacing. And I'm like, this is what's going on. This is narcissism and this is what's in my family. And I just immediately was like, and I run to the bathroom and I'm puking in the toilet. And she is like, what is going on? Are you okay? And I am cheesing. I'm so excited. I'm like, this is awesome. This is awesome. I was like, I'll tell you about it in a minute. I've been waiting for this to come out. You know? And so it's the difference in recoiling and being scared. That's repeating it. It's going, yes, yes. The more we can cheer on and welcome the next layer, the new pattern, the shitty sensation or emotion. That's how we let it go. We don't hold on to it. We don't let it go by clinging to it. And that's where the education is so damn important in those moments. Thank you, higher brain.
Yeah. And I would also say what I noticed, we have done so much damage when we started labeling those positive, negative emotions, sensations. There is no such thing. There is only like bodily wisdom and awareness. And, you know, I have two cats. So when I observe them and I often give them something to sniff, like with the, they're very fierce too. So if they don't like something that smells bad to them, they are immediately having this disgust response, like, ugh, yeah. You know? Yeah. And they do it natural. They're not like, oh, Nina is watching me, so I have to make it pretty enough so she will still love me and give me food and comfort me and kiss me, etc. You know? They are just naturally responding to the like external like stimuli, like in this sense the smell,
without the conditioning.
Yes. And as we know, like we humans have like part of the nervous system similar to mammals, and we have the same responses, and we are so much like damaging, in my experience, to our like physiology with labeling those things and responses as negative, or like we don't want that, or you have to look like this and you have to be like this, say like this. No, this is your body actually communicating for you and with you, and most of the time it tries to protect you as well, you know. Maybe there is a food and this is not good enough anymore. And it's like your response would be like, no, I don't want to eat that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about being bad or ugly. It's like, oh, no, that's something wrong with that food. I will not eat it.
Mm-hmm. And when we start with that, it builds into other things. I don't want to be around this person. I don't want to put this food in my body. It happened the other day with me with this supplement that I had, that I was assuming like I need this to function, right? Mm-hmm. And basically it started, other like sleep started going off. It was basically overstimulating, right? It was pregnenolone. It's called the mother hormone. And there's a time when I really needed that to support my system. And here recently, it's caused massive amounts of sweating, insomnia, and one, I wouldn't even think about it. You know, I've taken so long, and one day I just skipped it, and I slept through the night, and I'm like, oh my God. And I still had a difficult time because of the beliefs, trusting my body. And that just shows how conditioned we are and how normal it is to move away from these things, to fix them, and that keeps us in our loop. And so that's why I really appreciate having these conversations and normalizing these things that are happening in our body that are really healing responses, not something to be feared or to fix or to run away from. And the more we can move towards those with curiosity, maybe even excitement, at least neutrality, well, then we heal. And that kind of leads me into my last, I don't know if it'll be the last question, but last topic is, you know, earlier you said something like, I'm going to be doing this work for the rest of my life. And I certainly respect that and agree, but I will be too. But tell me, why is it important for practitioners to do this work?
Oh, that's the paramount work. Well, when I first practiced at the university with no knowledge about nervous system trauma work, and we would like have these practices, you know, with clients, we would have this, like exams, you know, how to have a conversation, lead a conversation, you know, and I would be triggered by some stuff. I would be like, oh, like I can feel so much heat in my body just, you know, hearing some person saying certain things about like a family member or this and then, and no one actually told me like what to do with it. We never ever discussed what is going on like within me. We were always discussing like what should I say, how should I support the client, like how should I lead them into something, you know. But what about me? Because I'm here too. We are two people communicating. I have my nervous system. You have your nervous system. You can like feel me, sense me. We can co-regulate. And if I don't know how to show up for myself, how can I actually feel you, sense you, and actually help you? If I'm being triggered with and flooded with my own like past history, am I going to be biased? Am I going to really be able to help you and support you the way you need, you know?
Or not feel it and be completely clueless and miss everything.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I was always missing that piece, and I was constantly asking, like, at the rehearsals, but I feel, I don't know, tremors. I feel like my feet are like wet hearing this. Like, I like my throat is basically like, I feel pain here. Like, what's going on? And they were like, just, you know, just keep going. And I was like,
keep going? There's nobody saying, hey, that's your sympathetic nervous system discharging. That's your trigger. Follow that. That's where you need to heal. That's why it's important to be. I mean, that's one thing I learned from Irene's work. You can just listen to stuff and be triggered. I don't have to sit in a session and practice to be triggered. I remember the 21-day course. You know, you're supposed to learn how to titrate and go at your own pace. So Mitch's own pace at that time was do it all right now. And I got on a plane flight, and I was on a plane flight for an hour and a half. There ain't but so much reading you could do in an hour and a half, man. And I went through, I was so excited to learn about the biology of stress, polyvagal theory. I thought I was just nerding out. And I went through 2 or 3 days, and I landed and felt like numbed out. Like, what is that? And then I didn't sleep for 2 days straight. I had so much anxiety. I took medication and I could not stay asleep. And I was like, wow. You know, that's when I knew, like, oh, I'm in the right place. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really notice the difference when working with people, the more I regulate.
Yeah.
And it's some kind of like a flavor when talking or, you know, offering support or offering guidance or, you know, holding space. It is like something that's happening between two people. Sometimes we don't have words to describe, but it's just noticeable.
Yeah. Like, it's like information. Do you mean like the information that's coming in? And like, it's almost like we're having a conversation without talking.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about like, I met people that are so smart that I even admire like their knowledge. You know, they have answers that are like, they blow my mind. But when I'm near them, you know, also in person, there's something misattuning, like something is missing, something is different, you know, like we can talk head-based, but what about the rest, you know, because we can really notice, especially like maybe like when we're in hypervigilance, like certain micro movements, yeah. You know, and I don't know, the tone of the voice, or if we look away and all of those stuff. And if we leap from the neck up, you know, it can be really noticeable. And people are just like, something is about that person, you know. And yeah, to answer about the ongoing process, well, I haven't met a person that would say like, okay, I'm completely regulated. I'm like 100% there and I'm fine now. That's what I reached and this is it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same thing. Yeah. Once you get into it, it sounds, if I was getting into this work and I'm like, it's a lifetime. What do you mean? So what I think I would want to hear at that point is, it's not like a jail sentence. Like for me, that's what it felt like. It felt like I was in a prison prior to this work. And for the last couple of years, I've been learning how to unlock that door. And some days I'm in the prison again, and sometimes I'm out dancing and doing new things. And so that's not to say that this lifetime pursuit is, you know, trying to feel better all the time. If you felt like crap for a long time, I guess is the example. There are things that shift quickly. There's things that take time. It's constantly an ebb and flow, and it's meeting what's here today. And kind of going back to the question, it blows my mind that someone can go to school, get a degree, prescribe medicine, that be their only modality, and they expect, and they've never done any work themselves. So that's where Irene's work is so powerful.
Yeah.
Because you can't really work outside of your capacity. You'll know it. Because you're going to hurt somebody at the very best.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's like, how can I meet you in the depth that you are at if I haven't been there myself? Because when you've been there, you've smelled it, you've tasted it, you've felt it, and you can notice that thing in a crowd of people. And it is an essence. It is not a, it's not like you got a bullseye on your forehead. So we're not like, we're not constantly analyzing everybody. We're just noticing. And I it would probably be like this. If I met you at a party, I would be like, something's different. I wouldn't be able to say, I'm not going to diagnose you or read your brain. Yeah. But as soon as we sit down and you tell me in 5 minutes, I'm going to put the puzzle together.
Yeah.
Because usually I'm attracting someone who's done is where I'm at or a couple months behind me. And so I, like yesterday, I had a prospect call and I didn't know how this was going to go. And we sat down and I just started getting chills all over my body. And the chills are something that happened to me after a car accident I was in. My body, when I started following my impulse or I get something that I need to tune into, my body goes nuts. And so I know that if I get on with the right call with someone and they're ready to do this work and they're where I was 6 months or a couple years ago, my body's like, let's go. And I there is no selling process at that time. It's just like, hey, you ready to do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, I know where you're at. And I've walked through the mud and the fire, and I'm not going to do it for you, but I'm going to show you how to do it for yourself. And ultimately, you make it your own, and it becomes your own thing. These are suggestions. I'm just the guide. I'm here to mirror back what I'm seeing. You're the medicine, and you become the medicine when you can listen to your body and give yourself what you need and allow everything to be here without trying to control it and fix it. And when you do all that, it's like I was telling you before, when I can feel safe in my body and feel that I can handle anything, no matter how things change and what shows up, game over. You know, and then there'll be more. And then there's more. Like, you get into this and it becomes a lifestyle and a way of being.
Yeah.
And so you're not miserable the whole time. You're curious and you're excited and you want to do this.
Yeah. I think it's the change that really happens at your core and like in your internal wisdom. And how it looks like is different for like each of the person. And like, really, it sticks with me, the saying, like, we meet people at the level we are in regarding this work. And also what came up for me, like, about the attraction part, that is so often that I hear women, so how can I attract this type of men? How can I attract that this will happen to me? How can I attract to this job, you know? And when I'm like answering, you know, that it starts within us and with us, it's often the confusion. It's like, what do you mean? Like, I'm sending the CVs, you know. I'm on the dating app, you know. I'm going out meeting people. Yes, but within our physiology, that's where we start, you know. And I think there's a lot of room still to work on that in the world, and I feel we're just like starting doing this.
I agree. And I'm excited to see where this work evolves. You know, it definitely is in its infancy. And I really appreciate the conversation today, the vulnerability. I think we've shared a lot of different ways of different things that can happen on this journey and normalizing that. And, you know, hearing your story and the way you're helping clients and the work that you're doing for yourself as well. You know, I know that anybody that shows up in your office or is working with you is lucky to have you in any good place. So for those that are listening and they're curious about your work and what's next, maybe how to work with you, can you let us know where we can find you?
Yeah, so currently you can find me on Instagram or Facebook page. Okay. And my website is like work in a progress. It goes through a little renovation.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, hopefully at the end of this year, 2025, it will be already ready. So there will be a chance for everyone who wants to work with me to sign up either for one-on-one work. And in 2026, I'm preparing like a feminine circle. And yeah, that's more for people in Slovenia, because I really would like to work with people more in person and help from there. And I also really, really want to thank you so much for everything, for like being so kind and helping me going through this process, because actually that's my first podcast doing it. So yeah, I had a lot of questions and there was some survival stress coming up for me, and thank you so much for holding this space and helping me to go through this as well. and for all of your questions. So thank you so much.
Oh yeah, no, you're welcome, and you deserve it. If this is your first podcast, I think you knocked it out of the park. You seem like a pro, and you know, we'll include links to your website that's under it's a work in progress right now, and those that are listening, that they feel like they're a work in progress, they can be looking out for you in 2026 and potentially doing some one-on-one and wishing you luck with the local group as well. I certainly feel that myself. So thanks again for coming on, Miss Nina. I'm sure this is round one. Maybe we'll do another one at some point.
Hopefully.
Thanks for showing up and being so dope today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for everything.
Absolutely. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.